our 2040 plan, looking at some long-range planning, we just really felt that this area is pretty unique and has just years and years of history, and obviously that's represented by just some of the last names in this room. So we wanted to make sure that the voices of this area were heard. So thank you so much for coming out today. We really look forward to hearing what everybody has to say. And I was told that if you need to go to the restroom, you go into the house through this back door, the bathroom's right there. Okay. We've got snacks in the back, we've got water and coffee, and with that, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to the head planner. This is Kelly Hauser-Glover. And
I'm not actually the head planner. I'm the long-range planner for Wasco County. Tonight I've got with me some of our staff. We've got our assistant planners, Riley Marcus and Brent Bybee. So when you're coming in to get permits for kind of structures on your property, anything you have to do with land use planning, these are the two you're most likely to see. They deal with a lot of our phones, emails, customer contact at the counter. So we brought them out here so you can put a name to the face, or a face to the name. And then Angie Brewer is our planning director, but she's off on leave, so instead of Angie tonight, we have the senior planner, Dustin Nielsen, gentleman with a beard in the back, and he's going to be helping to contribute to talk about, if you have questions about some parts of our current planning program that I can't speak to. And then tonight, we have one of our planning commissioners, who's also on our citizen advisory group, Lynn Erickson, is here tonight. Tonight, the agenda is for me to give a short presentation, talk a little bit about the context of why we're here, what we're doing, how we expect you can help, how we want to encourage you to help, and the ways that you can contribute. And then we've got some exercises that we're going to ask everybody to get up out of their seats and do some voting on some of the exercises that will help us in continuing on with our planning process. And then we're going to reconvene after we've kind of settled on everybody's had an opportunity to vote on some of these issues. I reconvene to answer some questions that got sent to me ahead of time, and then also have a group discussion about things that are on your mind in terms of land use planning. And that would be a great time also to ask some additional questions that you may have. So if we want to hold questions until after the presentation, kind of make a note with Fort Kim neighbor, and hold off until that portion. We can click through this pretty quickly and make sure we are able to address everybody's questions. So it may be a little hard to see for those in the back. This is a cartoon showing a skydiving facility right next to a crocodile pit. And it sort of summarizes what land use planners and land use plans do. Our main purpose is to mitigate conflict between land users. In other words, we're trying to keep skydivers out from falling into the crocodile pit. And in Oregon, another big mission for rural Oregon is to protect farm and forest land. And these infographics show that about 98% of our land outside of the scenic area in Wasco County are zoned either for exclusive farmers, which you all are familiar with in this area, or they're in one of our two forest zones. So we've got an F1 and an F2 forest zone. Wasco County 2040, the topic that brings us all here tonight, is an update to our comprehensive plan. Our comprehensive plan was adopted in 1983 through kind of a rigorous process. It was the first comprehensive plan for Wasco County. And it was, at that time, we were doing things in planning regions. So the plan at that time really tried to marry a number of the five regional areas within Wasco County into one big plan. Since 1983, we've had some minor updates, particularly with some zone changes that we did in the late 1980s. Most of you are probably familiar with the orchard lands in Wasco County. It has a minimum parcel size of 40 acres, which is a little bit unusual for Oregon. Things like that have been incorporated in the comprehensive plan, but by and large, the plan has not had an overhaul since 1983. And comprehensive plans are really meant to serve a population for about 20 to 30 years. So we've already outlived the usefulness of this document. Our main goal is not to reinvent the wheel, not to change things that are working, but to really talk to the people and see what isn't working. And to identify something, particularly policy and implementation strategies, that we can really adopt into the land use plans that are going to guide our planning program into the future. It's a 20-year vision, so it's a three-year process for updating the plan that we're going through. So we anticipate adopting in 2020, and so 20 years from 2020 to 2040. So today is really meant to imply that this is intended to be a 20-year vision document. Another aspect of the comprehensive plan is to have a number of inventories that tell us about the existing conditions and some projections we have for things like population growth. We have inventories on our aggregate sites, on our parks and recreation amenities in Wasco County, and we want to make sure that we update that so we have a full understanding of all the land use issues that we have in Wasco County. Just really briefly about the process for voluntary periodic review, because I know that has come up from some questions from folks from this area. There are two main processes that in the state of Oregon we can adopt changes to our land use plans. One's probably a little bit more familiar to folks who've gone through this process before. It's called a PAPA for short, a post-acknowledgement plan amendment. And that's, we rewrite some rules, and then once we're all finished and we've adopted it at the local level, we send it into the state for their acknowledgement or approval. The voluntary periodic review is a little bit different. We actually submit a work plan to the state, and we submit work tasks as we go. And it's unusual for a county to go through this process. We're actually the first county to be approved for this process in at least a decade, probably 20 years. So it's really an exciting opportunity for us to be on the cutting edge of comprehensive plan updates for the state of Oregon. And we really think it's a good way for us to be good neighbors to some of our neighboring rural Oregon counties that maybe don't have the wherewithal to update their plans, but really do need to do that. So our planning commission and our citizen advisory group asked staff to proceed with going through the voluntary periodic review because it gives us an established framework, that three-year framework, which is really meant to make sure we don't languish on working on a plan for 5-10 years. That doesn't do any good, but it did. It wastes time, it wastes energy, and frustrates people, frustrates staff, frustrates planning commissioners. So we have a shot clock from when we start to when we adopt in that 3 years. Another benefit that the planning commissioners identified was we do get additional assistance from state staff. So while we're turning in work tasks and submitting those, we get additional help from them, advice on maybe where things potentially cross the line into not complying with state law, or maybe they have some suggestions about things that they've seen work really well in other counties, for example. So it gives us that added bonus benefit of some additional help. Another benefit is that we're more likely to be approved for grant funding, and grant funding would enable us to do lots of really, really fun and resourceful things, and then, again, make sure we get out to talk to everybody. So we're really hopeful that, although we know the governor's budget is pretty locked down this year, we're hoping that over the course of the three-year process, it may open up some additional grant funding for the program. So, just to go back really quickly, the three main reasons that the Planning Commission and community leaders and what we were hearing from various people that we interact with on a daily basis, the three main reasons that they wanted us to update the comprehensive plan was that a lot of the references that we use in the comprehensive plan are really broken. So when we switch on over to say something for ODFW, that plan maybe hasn't been updated since 1985. Or some of the statutory references are out of date. And so it sort of makes the process very transparent for the public, and even, frankly, staff. We also know that we've had a lot of changes to state law over the last 30-plus years, and we want to make sure, again, for transparency sake, to make sure it's a readable, usable document for all you folks and for staff as well. So we need to update the plan in keeping with state law. And then finally, the biggest thing that we heard from the public was that they really felt our rules served us well over the last 30 years, but it was really time for change. Times have changed, technology improvements have come down the line. We've maybe changed the way we do business in terms of distribution, transportation with agricultural products. We've definitely had something called the Internet come on since the 1980s, which has changed the way we communicate with each other and maybe communicate as businesses and as residents. So there was really a sense in the community that it was time for an update. And time for to give staff and other residents a clear vision of what we want Wasco County to look like over the next 20 years. So a comprehensive plan consists of three basic components. They're the community's desired outcomes for the future, and we call these policies in the document. We have implementation strategies and tools, which are the ways we achieve those policy goals. And then we have those inventories and some data that I talked about that support our policies, that help explain why we made the policy and implementation choices that we've made, and help give a rationale for planners and public of the future. Because sometimes our land use laws aren't always clear to us 30 years on, and so it's good to get a breadcrumb to the public and also to staff on why we made the rules the way we did at the time. These three components are funneled by the state land use planning goals, which we have a handout in the, we put it back there on the wonderful snack table for you to take a look at. We have 14, there's 19 in all, we have 14 land use planning goals that apply in Wasco County. And so this sheet that will be helpful during the doc exercises gives you a little bit of an explanation about what the state means by each one of these topic areas. And they don't really seem so much like goals as topics for goals, but you may hear us talk about them as goals because that's what the state calls them. For this process, for the voluntary periodic review process, the state asks us to focus on five goals as just we're obviously supposed to include policy updates, implementation to all 14, but they really want to make sure that we hit economic development, housing, public facilities and services, transportation and urbanization, and make that a priority for the process. So one of the exercises that we're going to do tonight is getting you guys to prioritize what's important to you. These five may not resonate with you in your life here in Wasco County. So we want to say, well, maybe recreation is the number one priority for you. And we want to make sure that you're guiding this process and telling us, in addition to what the state tells us, is important. So just to reiterate, what goes into a comprehensive plan are a combination of those state land use planning goals, so the things that we have to focus on, those topic areas, and then the local vision. And really the meat and potatoes of this process is the local vision. If it was just up to the state planning goals and we would just have to follow a state program, we wouldn't need to come out to the public. Really the public is the bulk of a comprehensive plan, because it's your vision for what you want to see for the future. It's your neighbor's vision for what you want to see for the future. And it's your ideas, your solutions about how to achieve those goals. A lot of you may be more familiar with the Land Use and Development Ordinance, but it's important to stress that the comprehensive plan is really that guiding document. It's really that long-term, long-range document that has policies and statements The Land Use and Development Ordinance is really an implementation tool. It's how we achieve those goals. So it has things like criteria, restrictions, talks about zoning, and it is something that comes out of the Wasco County 2040 process. In combination with, we have obviously some state rules and regulations that we have to follow, particularly with our resource zones like for farm and forest. Just to make it clear, Wasco County 2040 has other applications outside of the Land Use and Development Ordinance. It helps inform things like our transportation systems plan that talks about our road systems and how we communicate with our public works department, how we communicate with ODOT. And it also informs things like our code compliance ordinance. So code compliance ordinance is another tool in our toolbox for achieving our land use policy. And So the process, as I said, is a 3-year process. Right now we are in the vision phase, so we're really looking for input about what you'd like to see us focus on, what are the goals that are important to you. If we want the big, general, pie-in-the-sky visions about Wasco County, what does it look like? Does it look like a place that has seen very little development over the last 20 years? Does it look like a place that has had robust development over the last 20 years? Are we wanting to turn farmlands into housing? Are we wanting to keep it the way it is? Those are really the kinds of things that we're looking to hear from you. Once we collect all this information, because we're going to be going out to about 7 different communities over the course of the next 6 months, talking to folks in different parts of the county, because we know we have a lot of diversity in this county, we're going to be collecting that information and assembling it into a report that will be obviously publicly available. And what we're going to develop out of that are some directions for our policy conversations and also what we call an alternative analysis strategy. So that gives us some options for different alternatives. Typically, it's the no growth to low growth, mid-range growth to high dense development. And we kind of walk through, based on all the feedback, what are some ways that we could get there in terms of policy and implementation? Once we've assembled that report and identified with our citizen advisory group, who again is made up of planning commissioners, what the policy focuses should be, we're going to come back out to the public. And we anticipate that process happening sometime in the fall, winter of 2017, 2018. And that's when we're going to get some specific policies. So to think about, I know one concern out in this area is minimum parcel size, for example. That would be when we had some hard conversations about minimum parcel size, for example. And then once we finalize those policies, once we make some compromises, got some consensus about the direction we want to head, then staff will serve at that time to help make some recommendations for strategies and tools to help achieve those goals. And that's what we call the implementation phase. So again, that's a 3-year process from start to adoption, towards the end of the process, so early 2020, maybe late 2019 is when we get into probably the process that everybody's more familiar with, which is when we have a lot of public hearings, we have a finished document for you all to read through and strike and underline what you like and what you don't like. And that's when the Planning Commission and then the Board of Commissioners go through an adoption hearing. And that typically takes several months, about 6 months, so there's lots of opportunity to get feedback. One of the things that has come up over the course of the process initially has been some interest in really understanding what are the kind of issues that we're talking about that really have changes? Because there's a sense that state law really restricts any potential we have to make anything. So we wanted to offer a little bit of clarity, and maybe we can have some more discussion about this during the group discussion phase. But I wanted to just really high level highlight some of the kinds of issues that we're talking about that are great subject matters for change. One of the really important goals in Healing County Program in Oregon is citizen involvement. And one of the ways that we ensure we're accomplishing that goal is through notification processes. So if you maybe been through a permitting process that's a little bit more complicated than an agricultural structure, for example, you may have had a longer time period, and that we're required to send out notifications to your neighbors within a certain mileage. We want input on, maybe that's not the way, the most effective way to achieve it. We also have to notice in the Dallas Chronicle, we know not everybody reads the Dallas Chronicle, so maybe there's some additional suggestions for other kinds of publications that we can publish in medicine. We also have some flexibility in things in our land use and development ordinance that we don't currently allow, that we have the capability to allow. So you'll see agricultural tourism as one of the things on this, one of the exercises. That's because we don't currently allow it in Roscoe County, but we've had a lot of interest in agricultural tourist kind of activities. So that's farm stands, farmer table dinners. And we have the potential to add that into our management development ordinance. So we want to hear feedback about that. There are some things that have limited options for change, minimal parcel size. Again, I know that's a hot topic. Is one of the things where we have some limitations. We do have the state minimal parcel size for ESU is 80 acres. In Wasco County, we made it 160, which is more comparable to other counties have what's called a rangeland, exclusive farming rangeland, and it's typically 160. We've done it for all our ESU, with the exception of our orchard lands, which are 40 acres, and we went through a specific process to allow those orchard lands to be under the 80 acres. So there are some avenues for changing that minimum parcel size, but to be clear, without drastically rezoning ESU to rural residential or some of our non-resource lands, we're not talking about splitting up the county into 2-acre parcels. It's there are avenues to achieve that, but it's pretty restrictive and a pretty heavy lift. So important to keep that in perspective. There are some other things that we have some flexibility on, things like our urban growth boundaries, we've got some rural service communities that aren't incorporated in Roscoe County. We maybe have some flexibilities with those boundaries, but again, there's a process to go through that. So it's not as simple as just writing it up. There are some things that we shouldn't expect to change because it's either state law or federal law, and those would be things like some restrictions on certain types of uses. A great example would be high-density residential in rural parts of Oregon. You're not going to expect to see condos going up in Roscoe County anytime soon because the real thrust of the rural Oregon system in terms of housing is really to keep it low density. It's really to maintain that sense of place, that rural character. And that also keeps in mind that we have limited infrastructure, we have limited access to water, sewer. So we shouldn't expect to see any kinds of condominiums, high rises, lots of dense residential development in Roscoe County. There are also additional requirements that we can't change, things like the floodplain. We're required to do that by federal law. So under the current regulations, we can't expect to see that go away. And then finally, we get a lot of calls and a lot of feedback about things that aren't even under our purview, that they aren't things that we have the authority to make calls on. And those would be things like we had the train derailment, a big thing was coal and oil transport through Roscoe County. I know down in Mission Chute, we have some concerns from folks too about some of the things that are being transported on the railroad. We don't have any authority or control over what gets transported on the railroad. We don't have authority control over ODOT, over treaty tribes. We don't have federal agencies like the Forest Service don't go through a Roscoe County permitting process, so we can't really control what the Federal Forest Service is doing on their land. And anything that happens within incorporated cities, so what happens in Adels, what happens in Duper, that's all managed by the city. And then taxation, that's handled by the tax assessor's office. So there are a number of things that we can't control that we want to make sure that we're clear up front so we don't spin our wheels on that. So we've tried to build in, because citizen involvement is so important for this process, and you guys really are, it's your vision, it's your voice, it's really your opportunity to tell us and other community members what you really want to see in the future. We've tried to build in as many possible avenues for citizen involvement as possible, make it easy. One of the reasons we appreciate so much all of you coming out tonight, we know it's a busy time of year for you, and it's a beautiful night. It's hard to pull yourself away from whatever you're doing, but it's so important that you come and participate. This is the first in our series of community roadshow events. We're going to have 7 in total over the course of the summer. We're going to be going to places like Duper, down to Shanico, over to Mosier. We're going to have one in Tri Valley. So we'll be out and about of the community a number of times. We're going to be going to some local organizations, so you may see us if you belong to maybe some fraternal organizations or if you belong to the Wasco County Economic Development Commission, for example, you may see me there. We're trying to spread the word as much as possible and again make it easy to participate. We have a project website, Wasco County 2040, trying to make it as easy to remember as possible to go there. It's a great resource. We continue to load up information, all kinds of information that would help you be informed about land use planning in Wasco County, the things that influence decisions. And it's really pretty cool. It gives you some ideas about what our successes and maybe what are some of our challenges have been to date. So really encourage you to visit that site and get some great information about land use planning and this process. You can submit comments at any time during the next 3 years. I've left a number of my business cards. You're welcome to email me every day if you like. It's difficult for us to capture comments over the phone, so we try to really encourage email. You can send us a letter. I've got some postcards if you want to fill those out and leave them here with me or drop them off in the office. We've got a button on the website, so you can submit that way if that's a little easier. You can stay anonymous if that's more comfortable for you. We've also got an introductory survey on the website that mirrors in some ways some of the exercises we're going to go over tonight. It's about a 10 to 15 minute survey for you to go through and give you an idea of some of the things that we've been hearing and the things that we want to hear from you. And then the Citizen Advisory Group will continue to be involved in a number of work sessions. So they're really the guiding body for what staff does. They really help us design presentations, design these kind of exercises. They're meant to serve, these are the volunteers, they're meant to really represent the community members. And so we encourage everybody to attend, talk to the citizen advisory groups out in the wild. We've got a map up on the site that tells you sort of the zones that they've self-identified, they feel they represent. So if you're not really sure who to talk to, that's a great resource. And those workshops, we get into some of the nitty-gritty. Some of you who were there at the April 11th meeting may have seen some of that process, and it's a lot of talking. So not only the most exciting meeting, but it gives you a good idea of what the process looks like kind of behind closed doors. And then finally, as we get closer to 2019, 2020, we'll be going through those more formal meetings where you actually have a draft to review. If that's your thing, maybe it's decision stuff, you just don't have the time to deal with that, and you just really rather see the rules as they're written and then respond to that. You're going to look for that in 2019, 2020, and that's when we'll be going through those hearings. We typically are required to do 3 for the Planning Commission and 3 for the Board of Commissioners. Unless we don't get a lot of feedback during the course of those meetings, and then they can kind of speed up the Board of Commissioners ones. But you should look again for that 2019, 2020. So just to summarize, the Wasco County 2040, the 3-year update, really meant to be a long-range vision plan. So again, not impacting the rules and regulations that maybe you deal with on a day-to-day basis, at least not now. The intention is once we're complete with this process in 2020, at that point in time, we're going to kick off the Land Use and Development Ordinance. So we're going to be using this as a document to update that ordinance in 2020, probably finishing that project 2021, 2022. We tried again to build in lots of opportunities for public input, but if you see something interesting from this list or have some ideas about ways we can even improve our reach, we really want to hear it from you, because again, it's really important that we hear from as many of you as possible. And then finally, one of the things that I wanted to stress is that staff is really here to be a resource for you. We're really going to serve as a technical expert and help offer solutions for what you want to see. We haven't come here with an agenda. We don't have opinions one way or the other about the future of Wasco County. We really just want to help you guys build the best community possible and the most effective and efficient way that really meets everybody's goals. So we really encourage you to spend some time getting to know your parent and staff, come to the meetings, talk to us, and grab us here if you've got something specific you want to talk about. We're happy to listen. So we've got four boards here tonight. We're going to get up and kind of do them. I apologize, they're a little low to the ground, so we're going to try to troubleshoot that a little bit. The first exercise, again, goes over the land use planning goals for the state. And we ask you to kind of with a simple number in 1, 2, 3, pick just the top three that are most important to you. I would anticipate a lot of you are going to pick agricultural land as a big priority. We've already seen that a lot in Wasco County. It comes up as part of our land base. But feel free to pick any of those. And again, that's really going to help us narrow down the things that we most particularly need to focus on when we go back out to policy discussions. We've got another map that talks kind of generally about development locations. So we've got a map of Wasco County. It's not to scale. It's really meant to be more of a broad representation of Wasco County. We've got some landmarks in there to help you a little bit. And what we're interested in and kind of having some thought about and discussion about tonight is where you'd like to see things like residential growth. So the red dots connect to some like residential growth. If you really think we should be pushing it all towards the Dalles or all towards Tri Valley, just indicate that with a red dot. We've got employment is symbolized by the green dot. So that could be things like farm activity, or it could be non-farm activity. It could be maybe employment growth to you means additional jobs in the city, at the hospital. You'd want to symbolize that. And then we've also got a for yellow, that's conservation or no development. So areas where you really feel like you have enough growth, you have enough development, I really want to make sure this is preserved as is. Don't want to see a lot of change. Wasco County has gone through a rebranding recently. We've got a new website. We've got some new colors. We've got a new logo. And our new mission statement is pioneering pathways to prosperity. And so we wanted to spend a little bit of time thinking about what that means to you. What do you think would help you over the next 20 years achieve prosperity? And prosperity can mean anything. It can mean financial prosperity, it can mean health prosperity. But just in a few words, summarize what that means to you. Maybe it's water, maybe it's good jobs, maybe it's healthy family. We'd just really like to hear what that means to you and how you think we can help you achieve that. And then finally, we've got a list of development types that we want some input on, whether you'd like us to encourage it, discourage it, or you're pretty happy with the way it is. So again, you want to kind of stay the way it is, stay the same. It's a pretty healthy list. It's based on some input that we've had from planning commissioners and our citizen advisory group. It's also based on, we get hundreds of calls and emails and counter visits every month. A lot of it is folks wanting us to walk them through the planning process or wanting some basic questions. But we also get a number of inquiries about all kinds of different activities that maybe we haven't done a good job at capturing in our plans. So we want some external opinions about what you think about this. So I think I've got a little bit of time to walk really quickly through the list to make it make sense for everybody. Maybe some of these terms are unfamiliar to you. We've got single family residential, so that's self-explanatory, it's just one family in a house. Multi-family residential, so that could mean things like major housing to you, or it could mean things like a duplex. One of the things that we get a lot of calls about are different kinds of residential types. So folks want to get some land and maybe live in a park model home or an RV. We get a lot of calls about living in yurts and cabins. So we wanted to get some feedback on what you guys thought about that. We also know that demographically, we've got an aging population, so we do hear some interest in things like senior assisted living facilities. We've seen some counties do some interesting things with that recently. I think Union County has been going through a process to develop a whole RV park around some assisted living facilities, so if you want to hear what your thoughts are about that. We've tried to capture very generally small-scale, mid-scale, and large-scale agriculture, whatever that means to you. What are the things that you'd like to see more of in Roscoe County? Small-scale is something that we get a lot of calls about. It's really those niche farming, it's specialty farming, it's farming of small acres. That could mean marijuana, maybe to you. That could mean hobby farming. Mid-scale is really pretty typical of what we've got already in Roscoe County. And then large-scale would be thousands and thousands of acres. Or if you have a different perspective of that, feel free to include that. Agricultural tourism, as I've already mentioned, are things like farm table dinners, farm stands, basically having activities that encourage outsider tourists, visitors to the farm to participate in farm activities. And we've seen a lot of increased interest in that here in Roscoe County. We have some stuff that already happens in Roscoe County. And I think a lot of us are familiar with the fruit loop and some of the activities that go on Hood River. Folks would really like to see that expand into Roscoe County, particularly in Travel Oregon, and the governor has really made agricultural tourism a huge priority for the state. So we want to get some feedback on that and how you see that fitting into Roscoe County. We've tried to include both public and private recreation activities, so both camping and lodging for public and private, and also attractions and sites. And those would be things like maybe bikeways, maybe access to the water, any kinds of recreation type activity. Bike trails is really popular, particularly in the west end of the county. Home-based businesses is something we get a lot of interest in. We do have some provisions for you to have a home-based business in most of the county, but we do get a lot of calls about that. So we're just interested to see if that's something you want to encourage, discourage. And then commercial renewable energy, obviously a hot topic for some of our neighboring counties. We do have a project that is in review right now for a wind farm. The interest in those has kind of died off with the price of petroleum fluctuating, but we do anticipate that being something that comes up again over the next 20 years, so we really want to get a gut check on that. And then there's also some interest from portions of the population on things like having solar arrays on your house or maybe doing some renewable in your own private residence. So we want to get opinions about that. And we've got rural commercial, rural industrial. This is pretty self-explanatory, but basically rural commercial would be things like services, stores. Those mostly occur in our rural communities like High Valley, Walnut, Pine Hollow, but we do have some commercial zones kind of floating out there in Roscoe County, so we're interested to see if we want more of that, less of that. Industrial is the same thing, manufacturing, processing, a hot topic, particularly with cannabis, so we're interested to get feedback about that. And then finally, we've got logging and forestry. It was pointed out to us in the last meeting that those should really be separated, so we're thinking of logging as just the activity affiliated with logging. And then forestry would be more forestry practices, so it would be with a mix of wildfire protection and also conservation. And then we've got space for you to add some things. If you think we missed the boat on something, we left something out, feel free to add it and go sit in there. And that's it. I think we're going to move these around a little bit to make sure everybody has a crack at them. You want to go ahead and move them? And then we'll come back to answer some questions and have a discussion. And staff will be floating around the room if you want to have an offline conversation with us on an issue. And I think we've got, you know, we've got enough time to have like 20, 30 minutes or so to get some straight treats and participate in these.